نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. سورة هود. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را. كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير. ألا تعبدوا إلا الله إنني لكم منه نذير وبشير. وإن استغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه يمتعكم متاعا حسنا إلى أجل مسمى. ألف لام را. This is a book, the verses whereof are perfected, and then explained in detail from one who is all wise, well acquainted, saying, worship none but Allah. Indeed, I am unto you from Him a warner and a bringer of good tidings, and commanding you, seek the forgiveness of your Lord, and turn to Him in repentance, that He may grant you good enjoyment for a term appointed, and bestow His abounding grace to every owner of grace. But if you turn away, then I fear for you the torment of a great day. Now right after mentioning ibadah, the purpose of our life, to focus on obeying Allah, Allah reminds us that we should turn to Him in forgiveness. And especially in this, the second Ashra of Ramzan, in which we should constantly be reading, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Because the Prophet told us, if you turn away, then I fear for you the torment of a great day. To Allah is your return, and He is able to do all things. No doubt, they did fold up their breasts that they may hide from Him. Surely, even when they cover themselves with their garments, He knows what they conceal and what they reveal. Indeed, He is the All-Knower of the innermost secrets of the hearts. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no living creature on earth but that its provision is due from Allah. What is it that keeps us away from ibadah? Fear lest our worldly blessings be depleted. Fear of losing out on something in the world. People say it's so difficult to give up interest. How would we survive? How would we fulfill our expenditure? Allah reassures us, there is no living creature on earth but that its risk is upon Allah. He knows its dwelling place and its deposit. In other words, its grave. All is in a clear book. And it is Allah who has created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Now people read this word ayyam and sometimes get confused that why is Allah saying He's created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. But as we find in the famous scholar Dr. Maurice Bukai's book, The Bible, the Quran and Science, he explains that ayyam means periods. It's a period of time. It's not a day by our measure or our reckoning. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. His throne was on the water. Now we need to know that this is one of the mushtabihat. One of those ayat about which it's not for us to pass judgments and say, well, what sort of a throne was this and what water was this? It's enough for us to know that we believe in it because it is in the Quran. And it's not for us to seek the details of this verse since we do not find further explanation in the Quran. Allah brings us to the true point of our existence. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So He may test you. Which of you is best in deeds? Now the word ahsan is significant over here. Allah doesn't say that He may test you which of you will go to Jannah, or Allah says that He will test you which of you read your 5 daily prayers and do the bare minimum. No, ahsanu amala. Allah is telling us that we should try and be amongst the sabiqeen, amongst the best. But if you were to say to them, you shall indeed be raised up after death, those who disbelieve would be sure to say, this is nothing but obvious magic. And if we delay the torment for them till a determined term, they are sure to say, what keeps it back? Indeed, on the day it reaches them, nothing will turn it away from them, and they will be surrounded by that at which they used to mock. And if we give man a taste of mercy from us, and then withdraw it from him, indeed he is despairing, ungrateful. But if we let him taste good after evil has touched him, he is sure to say, evil have departed from me. إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ. Surely he is exultant and boastful. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the ordinary person's reaction to adversity and prosperity. When he is in trouble, what does he say? He becomes despairing and ungrateful. How could Allah do this to me? What have I ever done to deserve it? But if we let him taste good after evil has touched him, he says, ills have departed from me. And he is exultant and boastful. What does this boastful mean here? That he starts priding himself on his own strategies, on his own plans. You know, if I hadn't worked that out, I'd still be in that problem. People need to remember that all good and all misfortune comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا except those who are patient and do good deeds. For them will be forgiveness and a great reward. So perchance you may give up a part of what is revealed to you, and that your breast feels straightened for it, because they say, why has not a treasure been sent down to him, or an angel has come with him? إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ نَذِيرٌ, you are only a warner. Now we can see in Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us to focus. The first focus has to be on ibadah, and the second on conveying this message. Not to be intimidated by people's jeers, because sometimes we find that if someone good is calling to Allah and he is afflicted by any problem in his life, this is a common taunt he gets to hear. Well, how come your Allah is not listening to you right now? And obviously you're doing something wrong, because if that were not the case, then why is Allah punishing you? Allah says, they say, why hasn't a treasure been sent down to him? Why hasn't an angel come with him? You are only a warner. And Allah is a disposer of affairs over all things. Or do these people say that the Prophet has forged the Quran? Tell them, bring then 10 forged chapters like unto it, and call whomsoever you can, other than Allah, to your help if you speak the truth. If they do not answer you, and we know that during those 1400 years, no one has ever been able to respond to this challenge. No one has been able to produce a Quran like this. Then know that this Quran has been sent down with the knowledge of Allah. It's not something to be treated lightly. Wa alla ilaha illahu. This is the message of the Quran. There is no God but Allah. Fahal antum muslimun. Will you then be Muslim? Now we call ourselves Muslims, but what is a Muslim truly? One who surrenders to Allah. One who submits to Allah's commands. One who obeys Allah. Not one who bears this title. Man kana yuridu al-hayata al-dunya wa zinataha. نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا. Whoever desires the life of this world and its glitter, to them we shall pay in full their deeds therein, and they will have no diminution therein. Now this is a frightening ayat. Allah reminds us, what is your focus on? What do your dreams revolve around? This world and its glitter and its superficial adornments, its superficial glamour? Is that what you're seeking? Because if that's what you're seeking, then that's all you'll get. وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. They will have no diminution therein. As we read in the second sipara, Allah said, amongst mankind are those who say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. O our Lord, give us in this world. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. For such there is no share in the hereafter. Why? Because they never sought the hereafter. Their dreams, their aspirations concentrated on the world. So Allah answered their dreams and left nothing for them in the hereafter. They are those for whom there is nothing in the hereafter, illa nar, except the fire. And vain are the deeds they did therein, and of no effect is that which they used to do. Can these Muslims who rely on a clear proof from their Lord, and whom a witness from him recites it, and before it came the book of Musa, a guidance and a mercy, they believe therein, but those of the sects that reject it, the fire will be their promised meeting place. So do not be in doubt about it. Indeed, it is the truth from your Lord. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. What is the sad reality? Most of mankind do not believe. What is it that keeps people from Iman? Because they don't want to change their lives. They don't want to change their thinking, their way of dressing, their way of speaking, their friends. So they think, oh, Allah will forgive us. أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Most of mankind do not believe. And who does more wrong than he who invents a lie against Allah? Sometimes we also hear people inventing lies against Allah. Allah is not going to ask you about something as trivial as this. Don't think of Allah as being so sadistic. It's not a question of thinking of Allah as sadistic. But if Allah has told us in this Quran that on that day we will be asked about our deeds, then that is the truth. Allah says, who does more wrong than he who invents a lie against Allah? Invent creeds of their own, theories of their own. Such will be brought before their Lord, and the witnesses will say, these are the ones who lied against their Lord. Ala la'natullahi ala al-zalimin. No doubt the curse of Allah is on the wrongdoers. Do you know what this word la'na implies? It implies that they are removed from Allah's mercy. This was what happened to Shaitan, that he was removed from Allah's mercy. Allah doesn't say that they will be deprived of worldly blessings or they'll have no children. That's what we think of someone who doesn't have Allah's mercy. Allah says, لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ. something much more serious, something much more frightening will happen to them, that they will be removed from Allah's mercy. Who are these zalimeen? Those who hinder others from the path of Allah. وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا, and seek a crookedness therein. Always trying to find a way out. Always trying to find ways whereby they can disobey Allah while they are disbelievers in the hereafter. The truth of the matter is that they don't believe in the hereafter. Because if they believed in the hereafter, they'd be too petrified to do anything but to obey Allah. By no means will they escape from Allah's torment on earth. Nor will they have any protectors besides Allah. يُدَاعَفُ لَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ, their torment will be doubled. They could not bear to hear. وَمَا كَانُوا يُبْصِرُونَ, and they did not see. What couldn't they hear? They couldn't bear to hear this Quran. We learn elsewhere in Surah Mulk, Allah says, when they will enter hellfire, they will call out, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُوا أَوْ نَعْقِلُوا مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. If only we had listened, if only we had used our brains, we would not be among the dwellers of hellfire. A reminder that listening is the first step towards understanding the truth. They are those who have lost their own selves, and their invented false deities will vanish from them, whether these deities were made of stone or they were theories or cults or creeds that they'd invented for themselves. Certainly, these are those people who will be the greatest losers in the hereafter. Indeed, those who believe and do good deeds, وَأَخْبَتُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ, and humble themselves before their Lord. What was the satanic crime that caused him, that gave him the guts to disobey Allah? Aba wastakbara. He refused and he was arrogant. We learn that someone who has even an atom of arrogance in his heart will not enter Jannah. And when someone asked a very relevant question and they said, well, what if someone likes that his clothes should be beautiful and that his shoes should be good? And the Prophet ﷺ said, that's not it. Allah is beautiful. He loves beauty. What then is arrogance? Rejection of the truth and contempt for others. When I read the Quran and say, well, that doesn't make sense to me, so I'm not going to follow, that's arrogance. Allah says, those who believe and do good deeds, وَأَخْبَتُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ, are humble before their Lords. They don't start priding themselves on how pious they are and how they're bound to enter Jannah. No, they remain humble. Such are dwellers of Jannah, and they will live therein forever. مَثَلُ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ كَالْأَعْمَى وَالْأَصَمِّ وَالْبَصِيرِ وَالسَّمِيعِ هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا. The likeness of the two parties is as the blind and the deaf, and the one who sees and the one who hears. Are they equal when compared? Will you not then take heed? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a very vivid example. The example of one who is obeying Allah and believing in Allah and humbling himself before Allah, as compared to one who's rejecting Allah and feels he doesn't need Allah, is the example of one who can see and one who cannot see. And this refers to spiritual vision here. أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ, will you not then take heed? And indeed we send Nuh to his people. إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relate several stories in which we find that the prophets are giving their people just one message. Only connect to Allah. And what response do their people give them? Some believe, but the majority turn away. Indeed, we sent Nuh to his people, and he said, I have come to you as a clear warner, that you worship none but Allah. Indeed, I fear for you the torment of a painful day. The chiefs who disbelieved among his people said, we see you but a man like ourselves. Nor do we see that any follow you but the meanest among us. And they too followed you without thinking. And we do not see in you any merit above us. In fact, we think you are liars. Nuh alayhi salam said, O my people, tell me if I have a clear proof from my Lord, and a mercy has come to me from him, but that mercy has been obscured from your sight. Shall we compel you to accept it, when you have a strong hatred for it? O my people, I ask of you no wealth for it. My reward is from none but Allah. I am not going to drive away those who have believed. Surely they are going to meet their Lord. وَلَكِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ قَوْمًا تَجْهَلُونَ, but I see that you are a people who are ignorant. And O my people, who will help me against Allah if I drove them away? Will you not then take heed? And I do not say to you that with me are the treasures of Allah, nor that I know the unseen, nor do I say I am an angel. And I do not say of those whom your eyes look down upon that Allah will not bestow any good upon them. Allah knows what is in their hearts. In that case, I should indeed be one of the wrongdoers. Now look at Nuh alayhi salam. When he is preaching to them, he is stripping prophethood of all these superficial trappings of glamour and supernatural knowledge and wealth and power. Because this is what people go for. They go for people who attract them or who seem special or who seem different. So Nuh alayhi salam says, no, you cannot start hero worshipping me. I have simply come to connect you people to Allah. And they say, oh Nuh, you have disputed with us. And much have you prolonged the dispute with us. Now bring upon us what you threaten us with if you are of the truthful. For 950 years he preached to his people. We are not even prepared to preach for 1 month, forget 950 years. So they, at the end of it, say, all right, now just that's enough. Bring this punishment that you're always talking about. And his reply is so beautiful. He said, only Allah will bring the punishment upon you if he wills, and then you will not escape. He doesn't say, all right, just wait, you know, now you've really copped it. He says, Allah will bring the punishment on you. Again and again he reminds them that he has no power in himself. He is simply a messenger from Allah. And my advice will not profit you, even if I wish to give you good counsel, if Allah's will is to keep you astray. What does this mean, that Allah's will is to keep them astray? Was it Allah's responsibility? No, the simple truth is that when a person denies the faculties that Allah has bestowed upon him, Allah has given him hearing, but he doesn't use it to listen to the truth. Allah has given him eyes, but he doesn't use his eyes to observe the truth. Then in Allah's eyes, he is useless. For instance, you buy a can of juice, and after you finish the juice, and the can is still there, you won't adorn your shelves with it, you'll throw it away, because it has nothing in it. So when he says that if Allah's will is to keep you astray, the reference is that when you yourselves are willfully determined on destroying yourselves, then Allah will not force guidance upon you. He is your Lord, and to him shall you return. Or do these pagans say that he has fabricated it? Say, if I have fabricated it, upon me be my crimes, but I am innocent of those crimes which you commit. And it was revealed to Nuh, none of your people will believe except those who have believed already. And it said that only 50 people had believed. So do not be sad because of what they used to do. Now sometimes we also turn away from teaching the Quran if we think, oh, what's the point? You know, only 2 people are prepared to come and listen. So rather than teaching 2, I'll wait till I have a larger audience. Nuh alayhi salam preached for 950 years, and at the end of it, only 50 people had believed. So what is Allah teaching us? That it's the quality that counts, not the quantity. And construct the ship under our eyes and with our revelation, and do not call upon me on behalf of those who did wrong. They are surely going to be drowned. And as he was constructing the ship, whenever the chiefs of his people passed by, they mocked at him. He said, if you mock at us, so do we mock at you likewise for your mocking, and you will know who it is on whom will come a torment that will cover him with disgrace, and on whom will fall a lasting torment. Hatta idha jaa amruna wa farat tannur. So it was till when our command came. And what happened? And water gushed forth. We said, embark therein of each kind too, male and female, and your family, except him against whom the word has already gone forth. And those who believe, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. None believed with him except a few. وَقَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرِيهَا وَمُرْسَاهَا إِنَّ رَبِّي لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Nuh alayhi salam said, embark therein, in the name of Allah will be its course and its anchorage. Surely my Lord is of forgiving, most merciful. This is the dua we read upon embarking ships. So the ship sailed with them amidst waves like mountains. And Nuh called out to his son, who had separated himself, Ya Bunayya, O my son, embark with us and do not be among the disbelievers. Now imagine his desperation when he sees that his beloved son has not believed. The son replied, I will betake myself to some mountain. It will save me from the water. This is the difference between the vision of the mu'min and the kafir. The mu'min is embarking upon a ship. He knows Allah will save him. Still he makes this acknowledgement. Still he says, Bismillahi majreha wa mursaha. And what does the kafir say? No, no, this worldly prop will save me. This mountain will save me. Nuh said, this day there is no one who can save you from the decree of Allah. Illa mar rahim. Except him on whom he has mercy. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمُ الْمَوْجِ. And waves came in between them, so the son was among the drowned. وقيل يا أرض ابلعي ماءك ويا سماء أقلعي وغيض الماء. And it was said, O earth, swallow up your water, and O sky, withhold your rain. And the water was made to subside. And the decree of Allah was fulfilled. وَقِيلَ بُعْدًا لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And it was said, Away with the people who are wrongdoers. وَنَادَ نُوحٌ رَبَّهُ. Now just imagine that scene, that the whole earth engulfed in water. And then Nuh called upon his Lord. And this is a very beautiful dua. And said, O my Lord, indeed my son is of my family, and certainly your promise is true, and you are the most just of the judges. Now what had happened was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told him that your family will be saved. Now his son is drowned. Now let's imagine ourselves in that position. We'd be the first to start complaining and say, how could you do this to me, Allah, after all I did and all those years that I spent serving you? What does Nuh alayhi salam say? He utters no word of reproach. He says, My Lord, my son is of my family and your promise is true. And you are the most just of the judges. How quick we are to call Allah unfair and cruel. And what is he saying? You are the most just of the judges. Allah said, O Nuh, surely he is not of your family. Indeed, his work is unrighteous. So ask not of me that of which you have no knowledge. I explain to you, lest you should be one of the ignorant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when someone from your family, no matter how close to us, turns away from Allah, then we have no bond with them. Just as when a limb becomes cancerous and the doctors amputate it, they don't say, no, keep it forever. Why? Because the danger is then that the infection can spread. So Allah says, I explain to you, lest you should be one of the ignorant people. And Nuh alayhi salam instantly realizes and turns to Allah and says, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ عِلْمٌ. O my Lord, I seek refuge with you from asking you that of which I have no knowledge. And unless you forgive me and have mercy on me, I will indeed be one of the losers. It was said, O Nuh, come down from the ship with peace from us and blessings on you and on the people who are with you. But there will be people to whom we shall grant their pleasures. But in the end, a painful torment will reach them from us. This is of the news of the unseen which we reveal unto you. Neither you nor your people knew it before this. Faspir, so be patient. Indeed, the beautiful end is for the Allah conscious. Now Allah relates another story. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ حُودًا. And to Aad people, we send their brother Hud. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no other God but He. Certainly you do nothing but invent lies. O my people, I ask of you no reward for this message. My reward is only from Him who created me. Will you not then understand? And O my people, ask forgiveness of your Lord and then repent to Him. He will send you from the sky abundant rain and add strength to your strength. So do not turn away as criminals. Now we don't commonly think of istighfar as a dua. We think of istighfar just as a means of seeking forgiveness. But from this ayat we learn that istighfar, if we read it with sincerity, can actually be the cause of increasing our worldly blessings. We find that once Hazrat Umar was asked to pray for rain, so all he did was read istighfar. And the people said, why did you just read istighfar? Why didn't you pray for rain? And he said, I have knocked at those heavenly doors from whence rain comes. They said, O Hud, no evidence have you brought us, and we shall not leave our gods for your mere saying, and we are not believers in you. All that we say is that some of our gods have seized you with evil. He said, I call Allah to witness, and you to bear witness that I am free from that which you ascribe as partners in worship with Allah. فَكِيدُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَا تُنْزِرُونَ. So plot against me all of you, and give me no respite. إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ. I put my trust in Allah, my Lord and your Lord. There is not a moving creature, but He is the grasp of its forelock. Indeed, my Lord is on the straight path. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. لا يخافون لومة لائم. They do not fear the blame of anyone who blames. So far from being intimidated by their threats, he actually challenges them. And he says, alright, do what you want to me, plot against me. As long as my Allah wills, you cannot harm me one jot. So if you turn away, still have I conveyed the message with which I was sent to you. People say, oh, what's the good of telling people? They're not going to listen. Hud alayhi salam is saying, even if you turn away, I still have to do my duty. My Lord will make another people succeed you, and you will not harm him in the least. Indeed, my Lord is guardian over all things. And when our commandment came, we saved Hud and those who believed with him by a mercy from us, and we saved them from a severe torment. Such were the people of Ad. They rejected the signs of their Lord and disobeyed his messengers. Now people today also say, oh, follow the Quran and forget the Hadith because we don't know which are accurate. Look at the sequence of their crimes. They rejected the signs of their Lord and disobeyed his messengers and followed the command of every proud, obstinate oppressor. And they were pursued by a curse in this world and on the Day of Judgment. Ala inna adan kafaru rabbahum ala bu'dan li'adin qawmi Hud. No doubt, indeed, Ad disbelieved in their Lord. So away with Ad, the people of Hud. We read this word bu'dan and you're filled with fright. It's as if Allah just dismissing them. Don't even think about them. Don't even grieve over them. When they turned away from Allah, when they became rubbish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has no more thought for them.